Ray Ferraro joins us. Ray, I think you know, as a goal scorer, a guy who did score 108 goals in junior one year, what's called being on a heater. And when you get on one, you're just like, man, I feel great. And James Neal right now is definitely on a heater with his new team.
It would be nice if you could explain it, you know, like why? Because you would do it more often. It's way more fun than not scoring. And it's the best feeling in the world. I think in the back of your mind, you know that, man, it can't go forever, but who the hell cares? While it's going, I'm going to enjoy it. You just said something, Jason, like there's lots of times, or there's a lot of things to be grumpy about and unhappy about. And so when it's rolling, just take it, roll with it, enjoy it, because it's not going to last forever. I'm looking at his Hockey DB page here. He's got 2 years over 30 goals, right?
Yep.
And so what that means is, unless this is one of his outlier years when he had 40 goals with Pittsburgh and 31 with Nashville, because he's already got six, that means there's going to be a stretch here where he goes a long time without a goal sometime. It's going to happen. Well, so what? If they told you at the start of the year you were going to get 22 goals from James Neal, you'd go, man, that would be awesome. So right now he's shooting the lights out, and it makes their team different for sure because he's doing that.
Yeah, you're right, because I looked at it, like he had the 40 and the 31, and then he had the lockout year when he had 21 and 40. So, you know, he probably would have scored 30 that year. You look at, and I went over his 3 years in Pittsburgh, where, and I didn't know this till I looked it up, right? He was the fifth most productive player on the power play in the entire league, and Crosby was out for a significant time one of those few years, and another half a season another, and Malkin was injured. Like, I look at the potential of Neal on the power play with McDavid and Draisaitl as a guy who loves to shoot the puck, Ray, you played with guys like that, and you scored 400 goals, so you knew how to shoot it as well. Like, but it's kind of something different, isn't it, when you're a passer and you know you have a guy who not only is a good shooter but likes to shoot the puck, and how they might be able to exploit that even more if you're McDavid and Draisaitl.
Well, there's probably lots of chances last year that died on the stick of whoever the shooter was, right? Because some guys score at a better rate than others. And, you know, James Neal's always been kind of I'd call him like a one-shot scorer. You know, it's not like he's making nifty moves around the front of the net. And, you know, it's not his agility that gets him goals. It's his size. It's his shot. It's his want to get into where he needs to get to. So if he can do that, well, the guys giving him the puck are going to get it to him a little bit more efficiently than he could have in Calgary, because he wasn't going to play a lot with that top power play group, right? With Lindholm and Monahan and Tkachuk and Goodrow, there's no room. And so you fall to the second group, and wait a minute, that's not McDavid, that's not Draisaitl, that's a hell of a lot of different players on there, and the puck doesn't come to you the same. He probably started lousy. Him and Bill Peters probably never, well, not probably, they didn't find a common page. And so now he comes to Edmonton, and I said the same thing about Lucic. I was doing an interview yesterday. The bar is so low for these guys that they can meet their expectation. Like, Lucic is, you know, I mean, they're happy in Calgary with what he's doing. Great. The bar is low for him. Anything he gives them offensively is going to be a bonus for them. But as long as he can give them what they expect, they're going to be happy. Same with James Neal. If they're expecting 47 goals, they're going to be disappointed. If they go, we need him to score on the power play, we need him to play in that middle of the ice and be the shooter from the middle of the ice, and they're probably going to be happy because he's going to finish a lot of the chances that he gets. He didn't just forget how to score last year. He had a rotten year. It sucked. And you can, I would be concerned if he was a Blazer and all of a sudden he looked really slow. Jason, I'd be really concerned with that. But he's not a Blazer. He's not a fast guy. He's never really been that. But he's a shooter, and he can still shoot. And now he doesn't have to be anything but the guy that does shoot it. And so why can't it work? I mean, if Kenny Holland was hoping for 20 goals and he's sitting there at six already, I think he's probably pretty pleased with it.
I would think so. No question about it. Ray Ferraro joins us. And Ray, I don't know if you've been able to watch many of the Oilers games or not, but to me, having watched them for so many years, there's a few things that are noticeably different. Number one, their overall speed. Like even Neil, you know, he's not a blazer. He gets around, but Haas and Nygaard, Ethan Bear and Pearson on the back end, Riley Shahan, Archibald when he's in the lineup, like they are significantly quicker to lose pucks and quicker to defend. And to me, it's been almost night and day in the first three games how they're able to get to the puck and make plays more.
It's also that's true, but it's also a mindset of how they want to play. Like I watched LA and Calgary last night. For the first 25 minutes, I couldn't believe that was the same LA team that is, you know, that has played like with work boots on for the last couple of years. Like they were faster, they were quicker to pucks, and they've got guys like Lizotte and Kempe who are faster, quicker forwards than some of the older guys. But the older guys now, they get it, they pitch it forward, they get after it, they go north. They are going north every chance they get. And when Edmonton plays, what I saw in the game against Vancouver, and in particular, I didn't watch a lot of last night, but they're getting it and they go forward. The guys are quicker to it. It becomes just the way you play. Everybody wants to be faster, but they had Todd McClellan said something with the LA guys, and I think it probably fits with Dave Tippett and the Edmonton guys, is that the year went so sour, they're ready and accepting of a new voice, of a new way to play. And so Tippett's message is like hitting open ears, and Todd McClellan's message is hitting open ears. And so the guys are trying to play this way, and you add it with the extra speed, and you know, it's the same uniforms, but it's a different way, and that's pretty evident.
Ray Ferraro from TSN. It's extremely early in a season, Ray. The San Jose Sharks are 0-4. Now, Peter DeBoer came out and said, actually, I thought our last game was really good. And, you know, we didn't get the victory, but we played the way we're supposed to play. They got a real veteran-laden team, but you got to be somewhat concerned about Martin Jones, do you not?
I don't know how you wouldn't be. I've known Jonesy since he was, 15 years old. He's a year older than Landon, my son, and was always an under-the-radar guy. You know, he wasn't drafted, signed with LA as a free agent, then ended up in that three-way trade with San Jose, with LA to Boston, and then he ended up in San Jose. Then, like a year and a half later, he's in the Stanley Cup Finals, and all of a sudden, it looks like he's behind the play. He's late with his reads. Pucks are going through him. And when pucks go through goalies, from the guys I talk to, they say it means you're starting to guess a little bit, that you're not tight. You know, like the puck doesn't hit you and stick to you. With Jones, in the last year, it's gone right through him. And they ran into an issue last year, and they couldn't even really take him out of the net despite a poor season because the guy that backed him up, Aaron Dell, had worse numbers. And so they're... You know, I mean, the cap is the cap. You're stuck. What you've got, I think he's on the cap for $5 million. Like, what are you going to do? You can say, oh, go get another goalie. I love that. I love when the media say, well, go get another goalie. Where? Where are you going to get another goalie? Oh, and wait a minute. You can't pay him. You know, anybody wants to play for free? Those become tough players. It's just like people barking at Kenny Holland all summer about he's got to go get wingers. He's got to change this wing, the alignment to the wingers. Do you think he's noticed? Probably. But you just can't go, as I say, you can't invent a player. And so you've got to clear cap room, then the player's got to be available, then you got to be able to acquire him. In San Jose, last year they made it to the conference finals with the worst goaltending in the league. I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know how that happened. Yeah. But they're not. It's not the same team. And if their goaltending doesn't get straightened out, they're in trouble. They look like they're in trouble right now. They really do. I mean, that's a messy, messy start. 17 goals against in four games.
Ray, are you on the hurricane train? Are you on the surge?
I may have to start jumping into the glass pretty soon. I had them as my ninth team in the East, and the only reason I picked them there was I don't like their goaltending. And then James Reimer makes 47 saves yesterday. Peter Mrazek's won a couple of games already. I like their players. I think their defense is fantastic. But I don't know. I wonder about their goaltending. But it is impressive to watch how they play. Like they, two games ago, they were playing Tampa Bay. They were on the second game of a back-to-back. They had come from behind to beat Florida, I think, in overtime the night before. They outshot Tampa Bay after the first period 27-2. And that game went into overtime and Carolina won. Just think, Tampa won 60 games last year and Carolina gave them two shots in two periods plus overtime. You better start believing. It's really, really impressive. They've been the most impressive team out of the gate so far.
There's a few other undefeated teams. Like, I think people look at the Oilers and think 3-0, and that's a surprise for some.
Oh, yeah.
The Anaheim Ducks are also 3-0.
Funny, there's a lot of ex-Oiler coaches around, isn't there?
Yeah.
You know, Dallas Eakins comes in. And
Buffalo,
yeah, they're off to a real good start, too. But Eakins comes in, and, you know, they talk about, oh, it's a new voice, it's a faster way to play, it's a more direct way to play. And, you know, Randy Carlyle he's old school comes. And they tried to play a fast game at the start of last year. They abandoned it after three games and said, this isn't working. And they went back to a more traditional style, and they couldn't keep up. They got 8 million injuries, and they got annihilated. And this year it's a little younger, it's a little faster, it's a little more aggressive, and then they've got, of course, one of the best goaltenders in the league in John Gibson, and going to be a low-scoring team. They won't have much room for error, but they've got to be really pleased with the change that they made has paid early dividends for them.
Ray Ferraro from TSN, former NHLer, ace analyst, joins us. Ray, I look at the Pittsburgh Penguins and, you know, Malkin and Bjugstad. Now, Malkin, you know, I think it was Darren Dregs who reported, you know, maybe a month, but it's a tissue, soft tissue, so you don't really know. How concerning are you? Or is this just, hey, look what Malkin did when Crosby went out for all those years. Is Sid just going to carry this team for a month? What do you think happens?
I think that's a big problem for them. The guy that you got to look at and the guy that's got a step for them is Jared McCann. You know, as I said earlier, you can't invent a player. They need another centerman, you know, an offensive centerman. Anyone offering up one of those? Nope. We need them too. And so McCann stepped into the middle. He's a natural centerman, and they've got to hope he can catch one of these heaters for a month. He's a good player. I like him. He's fast, and he can shoot the puck. But, you know, how do you replace Evgeny Malkin? Now, I know you said, you know, Malkin's done it in the past. The Penguins aren't the team they were in the past either.
That's fair.
And so I look at this and I'm like, man, of the times I'd like to be a fly on a wall to hear what management talks about, can you imagine Jimmy Rutherford and his staff? Like, you know, you got to find players, and you got to find good players, and you got to find them yesterday. They're in a bad spot.
What about being the Winnipeg Jets flying the wall? Their top five defensemen from last year weren't in the lineup, and then three of their young D-men score and they win last night. Incredible.
Well, I love, you know, I think Paul Maurice is among the very best with the media. And they said, yeah, you know, have you ever seen this before? And he said, well, this is a new one for us. You know, like five guys, you don't even know their name. And they're on their blue line, right? Like, how is that team going to win any games? Yet they just did. And they play, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh, of course, we just talked about. But, you know, Heinola is 18 years old. He's about 170 pounds. And I talked to one of their scouts. And he told me about halfway through camp, I said, you know, this kid is pretty good. And I said, do you mean the guy you drafted this year? He looks so thin. He's like, oh, he is. He goes, but he's really good. And then, of course, two more injuries happen and two more guys with this personal leave. My gosh, I hope things are okay for these guys. And, you know, because now Kulikov is gone and he's got to play. Not even we hope he can play. No, you've got to play. And so that's no long-term strategy, but it's, you know, good for them to get a win. And for Connor Hellebuck, who really had a tough first night, you know, was really good last night too.
And lastly, Ray, it's extremely early, but, you know, when you look at the makeup of teams and you've played in the playoffs and it's a different beast, and I think even now in the regular season to how it ramps up and, you know, tougher and harder hockey, do you look at the Leafs and they got a boatload of skill? I don't think there's any debate that. Do you think there's a lack of just overall grit on that team? Is that a concern? And even maybe a lack of size on their back end?
Maybe. Maybe so, but they played St. Louis the other night, and, man, the Blues are good. They're just like, they look like they would wear you to a pulp if you played them. You know, like they're big, and they all play the same way, and they're, you know, they're just, they're really, obviously they're Stanley Cup champions, but they're in a real sweet spot in their organization. They've got lots of good players. Toronto hung with them. I thought they ground the game well. Would they like to be bigger? Probably. Maybe. But the difference is, in that thought, Jason, is that they've almost doubled down with, we can win this way. You know, like their defense is small, and it's not physical. You know, Tyson Barrie, Morgan Rielly, Jake Muzzin's big and sturdy, Cody Ceci. And then your number five and six guys are Rasmus Sandin and Travis Dermott when he gets back from shoulder injury. Like, it's not a big defense, but they're saying we can move the puck bigger or better than that, we need more size. It's something they believe in, and we're going to talk about it until it's not an issue, right? Like, I mean, how do you not notice it?
And quickly, Patrick Marleau, what do you think he's got left? What can he add to the Sharks?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, his game deteriorated last year and in Toronto to the point where he was on the fourth line with the Leafs. And I mean, it's, I don't even really like talking about it in that regard. I mean, the guy is 39 years old. He's probably going to the Hall of Fame. He's now 40. Like, what has he got left? He can score 15 goals, but he can't play 16, 17, 18 minutes a night. Like, the grind of it just got to him last year. And his best games, Jason, were right after the All-Star break. He had, like, 9 days off. And he came out and he was amazing, outstanding. And then just gradually it started to slip away. And as I said, you're 40 years old. I mean, like, that's going to happen.
Ray, always good to catch up with you, man. I appreciate it. We will talk to you next Wednesday. Have a great day.
You bet. You'll be in Edmonton for the Philly game, doing that for NBC. So we'll see you there.
Perfect. Nice. We'll go for beers.
No, you can buy.